I'm not preaching on the title in the bulletin tonight. I don't think it's appropriate, so I would like us to look to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7 tonight. And certainly I believe that God wants us to live in the will of God. And that's so important in these days, that we live in the will of God and follow His will for our lives. And Paul makes that very clear. He was writing from very difficult circumstances. He was in jail. But he says, this is the will of God for a believer. Whether it be good circumstances or whether it be bad circumstances, God says, this is the way, lock ye in. And so we want to look at that tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage that Paul penned so long ago. We thank you that truly he did have the joy of the Lord in his heart. And Father, we thank you that even in the midst of sorrow, we can have joy in you. And Lord, I pray that tonight, as we look at the will of God for our lives, that we might be careful to follow that will, to do that will on a daily basis, that others would see Jesus Christ as a reality in our lives and be drawn to him. Father, we have so much to rejoice in your Son. We thank you for so great salvation. We thank you that not only do we have salvation, but that we have a shepherd who walks with us daily through this life. Father, thank you that as well we have a sovereign who is in control of all things. We thank you that he is also tenderly caring for us as the one who loves us. We thank you, Father, for all that you have provided through your Son. We thank you that he is interceding for us, and Father, that he is caring for Karen during these days and moments. Father, we think of the other widows in our church. We pray for Donna, and we pray for Gladys, that you might continue to comfort their hearts as well. And Father, we ask that as we look into your word tonight, that you would enable us to be the testimony to others that you desire, in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 tells us that we are to pray more, ponder more, and practice more. And certainly, I believe we want to see tonight that it is important for us to live according to the will of God. We've been memorizing Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And Paul, I believe, there was writing as well as a prison epistle. And certainly he was writing there, and he was saying, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so we want to look at what that will is that God has for us. And certainly we do not want to be outside of the will of God in our prayer life, but we want to be right in the will of God. And certainly Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is done in heaven, and Jesus also prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. So for the first thing I want us to look at in God's will for us as believers tonight is that we live according to God's will. Paul says, this is the will of God for you to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. What is the focus of our lives that will bring joy? Is it not the Lord? Shouldn't we keep our eyes upon Him? No matter the circumstances that we are in, certainly Christ must be our joy. David in the Old Testament, after he had sinned, he said to, in a prayer there in Psalm 51 in verse 12, he said there, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." In other words, David was saying there that he was focusing on his joy again in the salvation that God had granted him. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has delivered our soul and given us a prospect of heaven? And to know that He is there at all times for us and He is interceding for us. Also, I believe that Christ must be our joy, not only in salvation, but also He must be our joy in service. Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing." Certainly, I believe one of the ways to have great joy is to be able to sing and to understand the joy of those hymns that speak of the Savior and all that He wants to accomplish through those things. I believe also Christ must be our joy in sanctification. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me back to the book of Habakkuk, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 17, and the Bible says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation." Here was Habakkuk going through difficult times. He couldn't understand why God was going to allow judgment to come upon His own people. And in the midst of that, he reflects back upon the Lord that He is there and He is our joy, even in difficult circumstances that help us to grow and to know Him better. Can we have joy in that? Knowing that there is a will of God and that He is working out His plan according to His perfect will. Certainly there is joy in that. And then I believe that Christ must not only be our joy, but Christ must live through you before all. He says back here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Certainly, moderation has the idea of gentleness, reasonableness, magnanimity, goodwill, friendly disposition, meekness. It has all of those things. And so we want Christ, who was all of those things, to shine through our lives that others may see Him. Christ was meek. He was gentle. And certainly gentleness is not to be confused with moral softness or authoritative weakness. Christ was strong. And yet we must allow Him to be the one who shines through, not us and our self-centeredness. I believe Titus chapter 3 and verse 2 is another passage along this line of moderation. It says there, "Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men." Now that's a tough one. Do we want to always be gentle with all people? God says that's the will that we have from Him for our lives if we're going to be a good testimony, if we are going to shine through in a way that others may know who He is. And certainly, many times you may be tempted despite people when they have been evil towards you, instead of being gentle. But when we do that, it's like winding up a watch to the breaking point. Now, I know most of you probably don't have wind-up watches anymore. But when you wind the watch too much, that spring in there is going to break. There's going to be a problem. And so God says to us, remember to have a spirit of gentleness with others. And so Jesus did at the cross as well. And if you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says there, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And certainly, in injustice, we must trust the judge of heaven. Certainly, that is important for us tonight. So Christ must be our joy. If we're going to live according to God's will, Christ must live through us before all. But then I believe that Christ must be your present and future. He says there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Certainly, he is our past in salvation. He is our present with us at all times. Oh, I tell you, it was so good for Karen to hear this morning. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. So that I may be able to say boldly, the Lord is my helper. And I trust that certainly those promises will come back to us in time of need. He is our future. What is the blessed hope? Is it not an imminent one? Could it not be at this moment that we could be with Jesus? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't have to have a funeral. We could all be with Job before the end of the day. Fantastic, huh? And so Christ is our present and our past and our future, and he is always at hand with us. And so we must live according to God's will here in verses 4 and 5 of Philippians 4 and 5, or Philippians chapter 4. And then I believe that secondly, we must trust God to work out his will completely. It says here in verse 6, be careful for nothing. What does the word careful mean? That's kind of an old King James rendering here. It has the idea of not being anxious or not worrying. Certainly, it is easy to worry, but it's never a solution to life's needs and problems. But we need to come to the Lord and trust him fully. And so Paul was saying, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Do you think if you were Paul in that jail, and the diet wasn't too good, the smell wasn't too good, and the comfort level was just not there, that you would be saying, don't worry about anything. It's okay. That's what Paul was saying. He says, this is the will of God. No matter our circumstances in life, we are to be those who trust him fully. We need to trust the Lord with the what-ifs of life. When we talk about the what-ifs, that's the things that are future, right? Okay? Can we trust our future with God? Why should we trust our future with God, folks? Is he not the one who knows all our tomorrows? And does not he have a good plan for our eternal future? Why shouldn't we trust him for our future? And then I believe that we need to trust him with our if-onlys, the present. If only I had this, or if only this were different. Sometimes we go on and on with those anxieties, but God says, what I give you is sufficient. My. I No, some of you folks remember Mary Wood. Mary Wood is the home, her home is now Joe, it was Joe and Karen's. There's Karen's still living there, praise God. But every time that Carla and I would go to visit Mary Wood in her home, she loved to sit near the front window and look out that window and watch the birds. And here was a lady with one leg, and she was just as content as if she was a millionaire and had everything that you would ever need in life. The what ifs. And then there was also, as I think about this, we need to trust the Lord with the whys. Now, I don't think it's always a very good idea to be getting into whys if you're an anxious person, because that can go down the wrong road. But whys often refer to the past. But does God lead us step by step? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? He leads us step by step. And so that's important for us to understand as well. It's interesting that Christ grasped the handle of the cup and lifted it up to God in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, when he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God. He says, lo, in the volume of the book it is written. What? That he was come to do the will of God. And that will had come to the hour we spoke of this morning, when Jesus was going to the cross and he was going to give his life and he was going to raise himself from that grave and come forth victorious. And then he was going to ascend into heaven to intercede in our behalf. He knew the will of God and he submitted to that will. Can we say with the Lord Jesus, I accept my portion. Infuse me with your strength that I might do your will. Certainly to care is a virtue. To foster cares is a sin. For each anxiety is not trusting God, but trusting oneself, which comes to inward suffering, fears, and worry. When I was driving a school bus, the bus driver superintendent out there at United, he had a little bulletin board about worries. I think he probably worried about a few of his bus drivers, don't you? But he said, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it'll get you nowhere. Isn't that right? So, all our fret and worry are caused by calculating things without God. George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I read a number of prayer requests of Baptist church planters who are planting churches across the United States and involved in ministries here in the United States. And there was one man, it's been some time ago, I've prayed for this man. He's a chaplain for police officers in the Houston County Sheriff Office. And he wrote this when life turned a bad circumstance in his life and he was unable to go on his prayer walk in the jail. He said, what do we do when life turns upside down? Maria's homegoing, and that was his wife. Our other chaplain moving out of state, and then my physical problems sometimes make me feel like there's nothing I can do. Last night I read about a man that gave me new light on my prayer ministry. It is the account of a man who has spent a number of years at a veterans hospital, completely paralyzed from the neck down. He had faithfully served in the military and then became a police officer. It was an accident during a high-speed chase that caused his injuries. His wife left him, and his children seldom visited him. Most people in that situation would not want to live any longer, but he was a dedicated believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically, after being strong, healthy, powerful man, he was now physically helpless. But his hope was in the Lord. He cannot do what he would like to do, but he can pray. Every day he listens to the Bible and prays. His life is filled with the joy of the Lord. What a testimony. Certainly, this chaplain with Baptist Church Planters, Fred, he said, I needed that. As long as I was able to go in and do my prayer walk and talk to the inmates and the staff, I still had something to do. But if I can't go in because of this condition that I'm in, God gave me this story to realize that although I do not walk around the jail, I can still pray. Will you pray for me and with me that I might realize that I still have a ministry? Folks, no matter our condition, we can always have a ministry in prayer. Amen? And so that's important for us to understand tonight. I believe, thirdly, we need to pray for his will to be done in everything. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Certainly, when we think about everything that we ought to be praying for, is it not the circumstances of life, no matter how big or how small they might be? The relationships of life, the assignments of life, the challenges of life, the animosities of life, certainly all of those things need to be brought before our Heavenly Father. And certainly we need to pray and to pray for others in our life. But I believe, fourthly, we need to thank God for everything. And as it has been said, we need to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for anything. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Certainly, it is the will of God that we be thankful in all circumstances. You can be thankful for everything because God works all things for our good and his glory. Isn't that right? Certainly we need to remember to be thankful for those things. There was a man in the days of the Bloody War, and Charles II was responsible for 18,000 believers that suffered death and the utmost hardships and extremities. One of those was Donald Cargill, and he said, now I am near to getting a crown of which I shall be sure, for which I bless the Lord and desire all to bless him that brought me here. He was in prison waiting his execution and made me triumph over the devil's men and sin. They shall wound me no more. I forgive all men the wrongs they have done me, and I pray the sufferers, the persecuted, may be kept from sin and helped to know their duty. Farewell, all relations and friends in Christ. Farewell, all acquaintances and earthly enjoyments. Farewell, reading, preaching, praying, and believing, and wanderings, and reproaches and sufferings. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Wow. There was another one I came across this week. It was in the Family Research Council, and it told the story of Mary Mohammadi is her name. And certainly in today's troubled world, religious persecution is widespread, and we know that. Iran is the eighth worst global persecutor of Christians. Iranians whose faith and practice do not conform to the Islamic State's ideology are at high risk. It is in this context last year that Mary became all too familiar with the abuses of religious freedom. Certainly, converts to Christianity from Islam are particularly vulnerable to the Iranian state security. And for good reason, most new believers choose to live quiet lives and keep a low profile. Mary is one of those converts who has chosen the harder path. Courageously, she has shared her thoughts and concerns on Twitter and with few trusted journalists. And I've recently had the opportunity to interview Mary about her faith and her arrests and imprisonment and how her unusual decisions have impacted life. In late 2017, when she was 19, Mary was sentenced to 6 months in prison for her Christian activities, which the regime characterized as action against national security through propaganda against the system, and membership in house churches and Christian activism. In January 2020, Mary was arrested and held without ability to send word to anyone. It took a month before anyone could confirm Mary was being held in a detention center. Certainly, Iran's largest women's prison is known for unbearable conditions, including regular assaults, inappropriate behavior of prison guards towards women, chronic lack of water, unsanitary living spaces, and an environment that enables rape and murder, as described by a diplomat during a special briefing. I was forced to endure all kinds of torture, none of which are sanctioned by the law, and which ought to be considered crimes in themselves, Mary posted. After her release on bail, Mary received a suspended sentence of May 2020 of 3 months in prison and 10 lashes. Because of her remarkable bravery and refusal to obscure and hide her faith, I was intrigued with this woman's story, and I knew she posted it. Absolutely every activity can make my situation worse, she said. My condition is terrible, but talking about it is my duty in order to inform the world about the realities in Iran. I'm even ready to endure lashes and jail. I know that education and work and worship are my rights, but although I am unable to exercise those rights freely, I can be interviewed. And she went on to tell how that her job was taken away, the love of her life was taken away, and all of these other things. But Mary presses on in her life for the Lord, and certainly goes on to tell on the 18th of January of 2021, she was walking through a square in Iran and was again arrested. Do you know what was wrong? Her headscarf wasn't correctly adjusted. It said tight trousers and short and unbuttoned coat. Please imagine wearing your normal clothes while you're walking along the street and suddenly you're arrested for it. How do you feel? Then on October 27th, she said, I was summoned by the telephone without specific details by the security police and I refused to go. And she goes on and tells how that she would rather do these things for the cause of Christ than any other thing. And she says, I think it is necessary to say that anyone can be a Christian when the conditions are right. Yet even in the more difficult moments, I have felt his presence and he gives me peace and makes me feel that I belong to him. Do you think we ought to pray for Mary, folks? I do. Certainly, there are Christians who believe in doing the will of God. We have had others that we have known in Holland that came from communist countries and willingly were shining witnesses for the cause of Christ at great cost. Fifthly, I believe that we need to know that God's will is performed according to the promises of God in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Certainly, God looks out for us and guards us. That's the idea there in that verse. that he keeps your hearts and mind. Paul was probably guarded by the Roman soldiers in that prison. But he says, I have another one who is protecting me moment by moment, and that is my Lord and my Savior. What a thing to know the promises of God, that he keeps us. Certainly, I believe that God is the one who keeps us according to 1 Peter chapter 5. And so that's so important for us as well to know tonight as well. As I think about that, certainly I believe that these things are important for us as well tonight. I'm looking for some other notes, but there they are. Certainly, he gives us the peace that passeth understanding. It's foreign to the unsaved, but it's what Jesus gives according to John 14, 27. In Psalm 91, 1, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a protection that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The disobedient and the carnal cannot expect to have tranquility, but certainly those that are walking in the will of God can and will have the peace of God. The peace of God will keep those who have come to trust God as their Savior and walking in His will. Nothing can penetrate the wall of peace that God gives to those who know Him, trust Him, and walk in His will. So what is the will of God? The will of God is that we live according to His will, that we pray for His will to be done in everything, that we trust God to work out His perfect will, and that we are thankful in all circumstances of His will in our lives, and to know God's will is performed according to His promises. Father, thank You for Your word tonight that encourages our hearts. And Father, we thank You for the testimony of Paul. We thank You that he certainly had Christ at the center of his life, but also the will of God. May that will of God be certainly the center of our lives as we focus upon Jesus Christ in these days. Father, we thank You for the testimony that Joe has left and for the many times we spend around the Word of God, and to know all of the difficulties, at least the majority of them, that came in Joe's life. Father, we thank You that You still gave him a peace that he could say, I'm right where God wants me. And so, Lord, we thank You that he is tonight right where You want him, in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.